Hence, I then called the carpenters. In other words, some maybe it's to do with the hinges or something of this nature. And they looked at it and said, the lintel and some part of the structure has fallen into it. Onto it, sorry. Therefore, we will not be able to move it until morning. It's too dark. When we will be able to see fully what the exact problem is. Thus, I went back and left those two doors open. The next morning, I went back. And I saw that the stone at the corner of the sanctuary had a hole in it. And there were traces of an animal being tethered there. I thereupon said to my companions, the patriarch said, this door has not been closed last night except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who prayed last night here in our sanctuary. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he's gobsmacked, because the interpreter tells him, what the patriarch is telling him, the seas is amazed. So what he made that statement that actually was confirmed by the patriarch. So subhanAllah, such were the testifications of the people of the book, which ultimately led to Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu embracing Islam. He still not embraced Islam. So another might be sign he's seen. As mentioned earlier, the various Arabian tribes had been free to enter into the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, either siding with the believers of the Quraysh. By virtue of this blessed treaty, many people had now entered into the fold of Islam. For the fear of threat, i.e. with regards to the peaceful propagation of the deen, had been annulled by the treaty. So people were now listening freely to Islam without fearing for their lives. Hence, many from amongst the cream of the Quraysh had also now embraced Islam, such as Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Talha radiallahu anhu, and others. The tribe of the Khuza'a had entered into the treaty on the side of the believers, and the Bani Bakr on the side of the Quraysh. So two names. The Khuza'a were on the believer side. They weren't believers, I don't think. The Bani Bakr on the side of the Quraysh. These two tribes had an old feud dating back to the days of Jahiliyyah, which had laid dormant during the past few years. This was not to last. The Bani Bakr, allied to the Quraysh, organized a night raid on the Khuza'a, allied to the believers. It has been reported in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 3, page 377 of the English translation. The truce remained in effect for some 17 or 18 months. So that's 1.5 years. Then the Bani Bakr attacked the Khuza'a at night at a well called Al-Watir, close to Makkah. In addition, the Quraysh, thinking that because it was night and that they could not be observed, assisted Bani Bakr by providing them with horses and weapons, and they fought along with them in order to express their hatred for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this action of the Quraysh was not done with the permission of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. It was a disastrous move on the part of the Quraysh, because this annulled the treaty. In this raid, a few men from the Khuza'a were killed. On receiving news of the incident, a delegation of the Khuza'a at once rode to Al-Madina and informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of this flagrant breach of the truce. The treaty had been broken. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now opened up the mother city, Umm al-Qur'a, to his beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, hearing about the turn of events, was now seriously alarmed, as he had not wished to break the truce. Hence, fearing Muslim retaliation, he travelled swiftly to Al-Madinah to negotiate a fresh truce. So first he gave them a rollicking. He goes, who on earth told you to attack? But then he goes, it's too late. He goes, I've got to try and renegotiate. In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 3, page 379. While this was going on, back in Al-Madinah, the Holy Prophet uttered the following words to his noble companions, radiallahu. You can now expect to see Abu Sufyan radiallahu come to you to re-establish the pact and extend its duration. This is before he's even arrived, because he'll be coming soon. It was not long thereafter that Abu Sufyan radiallahu arrived in Al-Madinah. This is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Kathir, Sirah, Volume 3, page 379 to 80 of the English translation. It has been reported. Abu Sufyan radiallahu first went to his own daughter, Habiba, al-Mu'mineen radiallahu. So look how wise he is. He went to the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On giving permission to enter, he radiallahu was just about to sit on the rug of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when she suddenly rolled it up. He then commented to her in surprise. He goes, "My dear daughter radiallahu, I am wondering whether you consider this rug unfit for me, or maybe I am unfit for it." She radiallahu anha replied, "It is the rug of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are an unclean kafir. Hence, I won't have you sitting on this rug." So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anha responded, he goes, "Oh my daughter radiallahu anha, you certainly turned out for the worst since you left me." In other words, this is how you treat your own father. So then Abu Sufyan is thinking, "Who shall I go to now? She's having nothing of it." He then went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, whom he asked to speak on his behalf. He goes, "You speak, O Abu Bakr, with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He refused. He goes, "No." So then he's thinking, "Who shall I go to now?" He goes, "Umar radiallahu anhu." He next visited Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and spoke with him. But Umar radiallahu anhu was already boiling with anger, looking at him. He goes, "Me intercede for you with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You must be mad." He goes, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if ants were all I had to fight you, I'd still do it. But you're under a treaty." So Abu Sufyan quickly made his exit. He's thinking, "Who shall I go to now?" And he goes, Ali ibn Abu Talib radiallahu anhu, where he also found Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and radiallahu anha. She was then sitting playing with her son Hassan radiallahu anha. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon said, "O Ali radiallahu anhu, you are the man closest in relationship to me. Hence I have come with a request, and I don't want to leave disappointed. So please intercede with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on my behalf." Let's stop the narration. Why is Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu not going directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he's very clever. He knows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not accept it. For he knows that he loved these companions dearly. You understand? If they interceded, there's a great chance of it being accepted. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said to Abu Sufyan, he goes, "I sympathize with you, O Abu Sufyan." He's the only one that sympathizes. "But once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has determined something, we just then can't talk him out of it." Abu Sufyan then turned to Fatima radiallahu anhu, and he said, "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter radiallahu anha, won't you have this son," that's Hassan radiallahu anhu, "of yours bring protection between our men, so that he may then become the Sayyid of all the Arabs till the end of time? He could save bloodshed through him." She replied radiallahu anha, "My son radiallahu anhu is not old enough to bring protection, and no one can provide protection against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Abu Sufyan is not giving up. He then addressed Ali radiallahu anhu. He goes, "I am really in dire straits. What advice can you now give me, O my cousin radiallahu anhu?" Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu replied, "I swear I don't know what will help you. However, you are the chief of Banu Kinana, so why don't you rise in public and guarantee protection against them, then return home." In other words, just make an announcement. The people will come and then say, "Look, I've given protection again, because maybe that will benefit you." And then Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, "Because you think that might do me good, just myself." So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu replied, he goes, "Well, I really don't, to be honest, but that's all I think you can do in the circumstances that you and your tribe are now facing." Hence Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu stood up in the masjid in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "O people, I guarantee protection between our own men." He then mounted his camel and he rode off. So according to this report, he never even went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to all the honorable companions mentioned. But in another report, in Ibn Kathir Sirah, volume 3, page 381, Musa ibn Uqba, this is an ancient Sirah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's extinct, they've lost it, but they've made references to it. So if you hear that term Musa ibn Uqba, it's like Ibn Hisham Sirah. Abu Sufyan then left Makkah for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, worried at what had happened. On arrival, he said, so this narration mentions he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strengthen the pipe and extend it for us. So look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, very interesting. Is that why you have come? Has something happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, we are keeping to our pact of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We are not changing anything. In other words, the Prophet was saying, well, we're keeping our pact. Has something happened on your side? In the same narration, in Ibn Kathir, see the volume 3, page 381, Musa ibn Uqba, Abu Sufyan radiallahu also went to Uthman radiallahu, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu, and he said, please help me. So Uthman radiallahu told him, my protection rests with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he gives you protection, I'm more than willing to give you protection. He was very close to it, Banu Umayyah. In the same narration, in Ibn Kathir, see the volume 3, page 381, Musa ibn Uqba, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu finally went to see the Messenger of Allah again sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before leaving, and he said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have declared protection between the people and I don't think anyone will betray me by revoking my protection. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and said, as ever you say, O Abu Hamza radiallahu anhu. And with this Abu Sufyan left radiallahu anhu. On arrival back in the mother city, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu then recalled all that had occurred in Medina. So let me ask you a question. Did Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu try his best to renegotiate? He tried his utmost. And what else could he possibly have done? He went to all the chiefs, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look what happened when he came back. In Ibn Ishaq Ibn Kathir, see the volume 3, page 380 of the English translation. When he explained to them what he had done in Medina, Al-Madina, the Quraysh inquired, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approve of your protection? Did he say, yes, I second it? So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, no. Then they commented that Ali radiallahu anhu was toying with you, and that Abu Sufyan, you've gained nothing, because your cousin was just playing games with you. He said, what sort of protection is that? So he radiallahu anhu replied, I do not know what else I could have done. I've tried everything. This is the best I could do. Soon after the departure of Abu Sufyan radiallahu, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered an immediate preparation for a large scale operation. He then made the following dua. Now this is amazing. In Ibn Ishaq Ibn Kathir Sirah volume 3 page 383, a similar report is found in Musa Ibn Uqba Sirah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dua was this: O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take away the sight and hearing from the Quraysh, so that we may take them by surprise in their very land. So look how much the Prophet loved the Quraysh, because I do not want them to come out to fight me. In fact, let me approach them, let me get to the mother city without them even knowing about it. It was in the 8th year of the Hijrah, in the holy month of Ramadan, that the Holy Prophet set off with his army of then 10,000 blessed companions radiallahu anhu. On their long march before reaching Makkah, they camped at a place called Marr al-Zuhran in Tabarani, Bayhaqi al-Bidayah ibn Asakir, Kanz al-Ramad, volume 5, page 295, al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 6, page 167, states, all the narrators of Tabarani are authentic. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 1, one of their old English translations. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encamped at Marr al-Zuhran, Abbas, radiallahu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remarked, what a disastrous morning for the Quraysh. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah before the Quraysh requested him to grant them safety, then none of them will remain alive in this world. Thus Abbas radiallahu anhu then rode the white mule of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and set out until he reached the village of Iraq. There he radiallahu asked Ali radiallahu try to locate a woodcutter, milk vendor or any other person going to Makkah and send a message through him to the Makkans telling them about the arrival of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that they should request him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the grant of safety before he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkah. In other words, Abbas was trying his best to save the Quraysh. Now before I mention anything about Abbas, first of all, wasn't he in with the Kuffar in Makkah? At that point, his role a double agent had finished, because Mecca was going to be taken now. But his last mission, if you want to call it as such, was trying to protect his family, the Quraysh. So he told Ali radiallahu anhu, tell somebody to tell them that they're coming. They almost upon them. So this last report. Tabarani Bayhaqi al Bidaya ibn Asakir Kanzur Amal, volume 5, page 295, Al Haytham al Majma al Zawaid, volume 6, page 167, states all the narrators of Tabarani are authentic. Ayat al Sahaba, volume 1, page 181-3 of the Old English translation. Abbas al Bilanko said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I was wandering there absorbed in these thoughts when I suddenly heard the talks of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu and Budair ibn Warqa. Hearing the voice of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, Abbas radiallahu anhu called it, or Abu Hanzala radiallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu also recognized Abbas's voice radiallahu anhu and asked, are you Abu Fadl radiallahu anhu? Yes. Why are you here, O Abbas radiallahu anhu? May my parents be sacrificed to you. Woe to you, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Here is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions radiallahu anhu. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the morning will be disastrous for the Quraysh. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon asked, may my parents be sacrificed for you. What is the way out, O Abbas radiallahu anhu? If they seize you, they will decapitate you, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Hence come and ride with me on my mule. I will carry you under the cloak of darkness to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will ask personally safety for you. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu thereupon sat behind Abbas radiallahu anhu on the mule. His two friends who were with him at the time went back. Whenever they passed by any of the campfire of the Muslims, the people would ask, who goes there? But when they saw the mule of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would say, there is no harm. It is the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam riding his mule. Then they passed by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he had a strong eyesight, and he noticed something, and he saw Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu sitting over the posterior part of the mule, and he said in delight, ah, Abu Sufyan, enemy of Allah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, who gave us power over you. Now there is no treaty or promise. So Umar radiallahu anhu started running towards the Messenger of Allah sent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get permission to kill Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Abbas kicked the mule radiallahu anhu, and due to the strength of the mule, Umar was left behind radiallahu anhu. On reaching there, Abbas radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Umar also reached there shortly thereafter, and he said, Umar spoke first. He is a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us power over him without breaking any treaty or promise. Give me permission to chop his head off. Abbas radiallahu anhu then quickly intervened and said, O messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have given him shelter. And then a row broke out between Abbas and Umar radiallahu anhu. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon calmed them and said, O Abbas radiallahu anhu, go back to your resting place and return in the morning. And Abbas radiallahu anhu then went to his tent along with Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who passed the night with him. And what the scholars say here is very interesting, because what sort of a night has Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu have passed that night? He goes, I'm surrounded by 10,000 enemy warriors. He goes, I'm totally at the mercy of the one I've been persecuting for the last 17 years. It's all over. And Umar just brandishing his sword outside waiting for the command. Right. In the morning, they went again to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he said, woe to you, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. Has not the time come for you to bear witness to La ilaha illallah? There is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu replied, may my parents be sacrificed for you. You are the most honorable, clement, and the one who always keeps relations with his family, no matter how distant. Now indeed, I do indeed testify to La ilaha illallah. If there was another God, he would surely have helped me. The Holy Prophet then asked, woe to you, O Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, has not the time come for you to say, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the narration. This was the moment of truth for Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. He was a proud leader of the Quraysh. one of the notable of the tribe, a descendant of Umayyah. He had always regarded himself as second to none in authority. He was virtually the ruler of Makkah, a man all Makkans held in respect and reverence. Now he stood like a humble supplicant before the most magnificent of men, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom he had persecuted and fought for so many years. So in the same reference is all what I mentioned earlier. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu answered, "May my parents be sacrificed for you. You are indeed the most honorable clement and the one who always keeps up relations. On this point, I still have doubt." On this, Abbas radiallahu anhu furious, he goes, "Woe to you, O Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, embrace Islam and bear witness that La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah before I take your head." Hearing this, he quickly bore witness to the truth. He goes, "Yes, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So now the obvious question is, somebody goes, "Hang on a minute, he was forced to say the Shahada." So one could be excused to think that this was just a flippant statement by Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, which of course would be correct. But, just to finish, however, shortly after this incident, his declaration of faith was confirmed. Recalling the narration earlier, I mentioned this on the first night, I think, when Abbas and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu were returning from their business trip from Yemen, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu answered Abbas when he had informed him about the Prophet. This is in Abu Nu'aym ibn Kathir, Sira volume 1, page 225-7, states, "This account is excellent, fully illuminated by the light of truth." So look what Abu Sufyan said when he 17 years earlier, or so earlier, maybe a little bit less than this, "I'll not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till I see horses high up on Mount Qadha." So Abbas looked at him radiallahu anhu, "What on earth does that mean? Why do you blurt that out?" And Abu Sufyan said radiallahu anhu, "This is just a phrase that came to my mind and I uttered it." So Abbas continued radiallahu anhu, "When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah many years later, and we, Abu Sufyan and myself radiallahu anhu, looked up at the horsemen high on Mount Qadha, I thereupon said, Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, can't you remember what you said all those years ago?" And he looked at the horsemen and he goes, "Yes, I certainly do." He goes, "All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for finally guiding me to Islam." So again, who can stop the one whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed to guide? So Allahu Akbar, he finally embraces Islam after the conquest of Makkah, or just before the conquest of Makkah. So all we went through there was the treaty of Hudaybiyah being broken by the allies of both camps, not themselves. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu trying to repatch the agreement, and then of course the Messenger of Allah marching towards Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the treaty lasted for 1.5 years roughly. And in that time so many people embraced Islam. It was a great victory. One of the companions said this, that, you know, the greatest victory we had was the treaty of Hudaybiyah, and that's why Surah Al-Fath was revealed, which means victory. So is there any questions on that before we wrap up? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الا الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم